I'm so excited to talk to you guys about today's sponsor, Prose. Prose is the custom beauty brand that is all over your feed. I had been wanting to try them for so long. And when I tell you guys that I put on my Instagram story that they were going to be sponsoring the podcast, I got so many genuine organic responses from my following of people being like, oh my God, I love Prose. I've been using it for years. So don't even just take it from me, but take it from the genuine people that reached out agreeing with me about how much they love Prose. And when Prose says custom, they actually mean it. Each and every bottle of Prose custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of your life and beauty goals. One of the coolest parts of the questionnaire that I thought was they literally asked me about my location and my zip code so that they could understand how hard the water is here, what the UV index is like, if it's cold, if it's dry, and all of that goes into these truly personalized products. Prose even did a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised controlled clinical study, aka the gold standard in research studies, and Prose proved that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. So try it for yourself and get your healthiest hair in 30 days or your money back. Prose is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering the Arty Friends listeners an exclusive trial offer so that you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/artyfriends. That's prose.com/artyfriends for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. prose.com/artyfriends.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Arty Friends. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
We are back for our What Would Your Best You Do segment where you guys send in your questions on our website and we do our best to give our advice and help the girlies out.
As your besties.
As the besties.
Like we said last month, not experts, not the most qualified people ever, just your besties.
That's the point. You know, if you got a vent, throw it in there. If you're having friendship drama, throw it in there. We've been around the block. We've had our fair share of breakups, friendship dilemmas, all the things. So that's what a friend's for.
Mm-hmm. And kind of on topic, but we get a lot of DMs that are like long questions. Mm-hmm. And if you guys ever have circumstances that you want to share with us or you want our advice on, sending it into the What Would Your Bestie Do box on our podcast website is a great spot to put it because everyone wants to hear these juicy stories and good questions. So then if we can talk about it on the podcast, we can give a much longer answer than a quick little DM reply.
Absolutely. But first, as always, we're going to catch up and Allison has some very fun updates. I feel like I should just pass the mic over to you and you should tell us what you've been up to.
Okay. I am in Colombia. I'm loving it. I'm so happy. It's been 10 days, I think, and it feels like a lifetime. The days have been so long. I think that's natural when you're solo traveling because I just wake up and I'm like, especially not having peaches even, so much of my attention during the day is like walking her, feeding her, brushing her, and just solely caring for myself. The last week has been so rejuvenating, so fun. I've been working out every day, met so many cool people, have been working on some bigger picture work projects that when I'm at home in Omaha, it's really easy to get caught up in like the day-to-day duties of things that it's like, this has to get done right now. But when I leave, I'm like, I can zoom out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And it's really helpful for that. So yeah, it's been great.
What has been your favorite thing so far?
I have committed to just eating at the same cafe every single morning and the same place for dinner in the evening. I don't really eat lunch because my breakfast is like a lunch. I eat at like 10 a.m. And the staff at both restaurants, like they just see me and they're like, good morning or hello. And I'm like, yeah, yes, I know. I come every single day, mm-hmm. but I like what I like, and it makes me feel like I have somewhat of a routine or like some consistency, like being in a different country where like everything is different, different people. Just be like, you know what? I'm going to have my coffee here every day and plan out my day. And then everything in between breakfast and dinner can change and be whatever unfolds.
Yeah. You don't realize how much brain power goes into picking a restaurant.
Literally.
Until you're on the ground and it's like, oh my gosh, I cannot decide. I'm going to have FOMO if I pick the wrong one and just feel annoyed.
Literally. Tonight was actually the first night I didn't eat at the place I always go to because I'll save that. Actually, no, I'll tell it. This is funny. No, I can't. I can't. In case they listen.
Yeah.
There was a weird person lingering. but I was like, I will give that situation some space. So I went to a different restaurant tonight. And at first, it was taking so long to get my food. FYI, to anyone who ever comes to Colombia, it is Colombian time. You a 45-minute wait time till you get your food, normal. 20 mm-hmm. minutes for your drink, normal. Do not be in a hurry. There was some TikTok that I saw a few weeks ago, and it was like me forgetting to plan 4 hours for every meal and being late to everything. And it's like, actually, like that's why I only do the 2 meals a day, because they would run into each other.
Yeah, and you're like, are those places at least manageable time expectations? Yeah.
And that's why I like them, especially since like they know me now. Like they're like 5-10 minutes. It's so great.
Yeah.
But I tried a new place tonight and it was taking so long. And the American in me was like starting to get a little bit annoyed. And then the cook came out and it was like the most beautiful Lebanese platter of like hummus and olive oil and naan bread and like tomato things. And it looked like a fucking masterpiece. And he's like smiling and he's like, is it okay? And I'm like, oh, muy bonita. Yes, it's great. And then he like came back and he's like, do you like it? And I was like, yes, it was. So I left him a 5-star review. Like he was so proud. Like that man was back there, like putting the most specific little touches. So, but that's actually something I really, really love about Colombia is they take so much pride in mm-hmm. everything that they do. And I feel like Americans are very proud, but like for what? For example, a different cafe that I like to work at during the afternoons, I was leaving right as they were closing up and the workers were scrubbing the floor, like buckets of water and the sides of the trash cans.
Wow.
Like I've never seen. And you know that they do that every single day. And in America, like at restaurants, they are not taking the trashes out. Like scrubbing the sides, dumping them upside down. Everything here is, it's like so spotless. The level of cleanliness is unmatched. And you guys know me, I'm like a germaphobe, but I love things very clean. And so just like knowing how clean all the kitchens are, where the food is coming from, and like the places that I'm staying, I've stayed at a couple different spots and man, yeah, they keep it clean here.
You're like, I can't leave.
I can't leave. I'll be here forever.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, how is your Spanish? How is it communicating? Because you're in Medellin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which if people don't know, that's definitely more of an immersive, that's not as touristy as a Cartagena per se.
Yes. So Cartagena is north on the ocean. Medellin is
very
in the middle. Yeah. I think it's mostly like people coming from Florida because it's so close. It's like a party. We did. That was both you and I's first South America spot.
And a great way to dip your toes in. I still really enjoyed it. But like from what that trip looks like to what I've heard from where you're at and like Bogota, wherever, where other places, it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, we had a good time in Cartagena, but now I'm like, don't need to ever probably go ever back there.
I know. I literally got invited by some friends that were going. They had just recently went and they're like, do you want to come? I'm like, you know, just, I didn't want to, I really try to say it in a way that didn't hurt their feelings because I didn't want them to think it wasn't going to be fun. I'm like, I feel like once you go to Cartagena, you don't need to go again.
It's really small, actually.
Yeah. It's really small. And maybe unless you're going to one of the islands, because we stayed at a really cool hotel on one of the islands. And like, maybe if you're doing that and doing like that resorty vibe, I would do that. But even that, I'm like, you can do that anywhere. There's other mm-hmm. places to do that.
Yeah. It gives me much more vacation vibes to where like Medellin is like an actual like livable city. And there are so many digital nomads here. So like the cafes and the hostels and Airbnbs are all very geared.
International.
Yeah. Well, so like anywhere you walk in, there's like a sign that like has the Wi-Fi password just like right there. Or like the gym membership I got, there was no like start on fee. It was like a 1 month and then you didn't have to like sign up after that. Like you could just get the month. And there's a lot of different things I've noticed around here that you can tell that they're accommodating people that are coming for like a couple weeks or a couple months, and they make it very easy. Nice. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's just been, life's been good. It's been easy. The neighborhood that I've been in like the whole time, it's pretty walkable. Like there's, it's not that big. And I have seen all of the same people. I'm like, oh, we're all locals now at this point. Like we cannot escape each other. This one guy, I saw him 4 times in 1 day. And we both were like, dude,
who's stalking who? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. And this morning I was at my normal cafe, and this guy, one table over from me, he like leans over and he's like, hey, I keep seeing you around. What's your name? And I'm like, am I standing out that much as like the white girl?
The blonde. Well, actually, you're not as blonde now, but yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah. But I didn't even answer your question. My Spanish is okay. I'm getting by and learning a little bit more all the time. I try to just not lead in English. Like I really try to make an effort. Like when I'm ordering, oh my God, like at my normal cafe, yesterday, this guy came in and he just, so American, barges in, orders so loud in full English, like not even a slight effort to say like, por favor. And I was just like, sir, it is so rude. Like, why are you screaming, first of all? Second of all, try or at least like point to it in Spanish. I don't know. The worker was just like,
Like, it is 8 a.m. Sir.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't know. I'll give more updates next week. I don't want to hog the mic forever, ever.
No, this is exciting. This is fun. And you'll be there till when? Another week? I'm
exactly halfway through.
Okay, nice.
I think. Because I'll be gone for 22 days. And I think I'm at day 11.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's great.
And tomorrow, you're leaving.
Yes. Okay. Last week, I talked about having a project in New York that I wasn't sure I could talk about yet, but now I can talk about it. I mean, that's nothing crazy, but I just want to make sure that I was actually going. The flights are booked. Everything's confirmed. So my friend Lavelle owns a bridal company called Lavelle Faye Bridal, and she makes custom wedding dresses, but she also specializes in reconstruction. So a lot of people will bring in their mom's wedding dress and have her reconstruct it, redesign it, repurpose it, because honestly, a lot of people's mom's dresses do just stay in the box and they don't get used, because I feel like people kept them for their daughters to maybe wear, but a lot of people just don't want to do that anymore. So it's fun because Lavelle can put a fresh spin on them. And I think a lot of these people's like moms are fine to do. Like, I know that's what we're doing with my mom's dress, because she's like, if you don't do anything with it, it's literally just going to sit in this box for another 30 years. So what's the point? Even though it is a beautiful dress and we're going to keep the integrity, we're going to keep a lot of the amazing features that make it so beautiful. But it's like, let's make it have another purpose, have another life. So I'm going there.
Okay, wait. I'm confused. Is your mom wearing it again? Are you wearing it?
I'm going to wear my mom's dress. We're reconstructing it. So that's like kind of what Lavelle does. So she has brides come in.
As your wedding dress?
Not for my wedding dress. Just for like maybe rehearsal dinner. So there's so many different things you can do. So definitely check out Lavelle's Instagram and TikTok. She's gotten a lot of media coverage. She's been on Good Morning America. I think the Today Show. She's been all over. But she can do a mom's wedding dress for the daughter to wear at a rehearsal dinner. So maybe they make it like a 2-piece set. Because a lot of these 80s, 90s dresses are very different. Like they're not as, I don't know, timeless maybe. So it's fun to take pieces from them or just kind of redo them and make them something that the bride wants to wear. And it has been, like some people do wear it as the wedding dress. You totally can.
That's what I thought. But then I knew you said your dress came in. So I was like, okay, can't.
Okay. Yeah, I think majority wear it as like another dress. So maybe it's the dress that they dance in or that they do the courthouse ceremony, like a Las Vegas ceremony in. But I think there are people that do actually wear it for the wedding. But from what I've seen on her socials, it looks like it's some other element to the day. But I could be wrong.
Adorable. Okay, I love this.
Yeah, so I don't know what I'll wear it for. I think we're going to go make a design, make a plan, maybe rehearsal dinner, maybe an after party dancing. I don't know. We'll see. It's totally up for interpretation at this point.
Yeah, and that will obviously be way easier in person when she like can see it on you and you guys can vision out. That's so fun.
Yeah, so she's like one of the, if not the top person that does reconstruction wedding dresses in the US. So if you guys are interested, you can go see her in New York. She recently moved from Dallas to New York and definitely reach out. She might do, if you're willing to travel to New York, she'll work with you. So yeah, definitely check her out because she is the best of the best.
Okay.
Which is so funny. Wait, speaking of that, isn't it crazy that one of our first guests on the show is now like one of the biggest fashion designers in the US also?
Yeah. Okay. I literally congratulate her like every 2 months. So Megan
Your
Fetch,
friend.
She was in my sorority and she's an Omaha girl, went to Millard South. We went to the same college in the same sorority and she was always really cool, but like didn't need validation from other people. Like wasn't always posting a ton on the internet, just like stayed in her lane. And you know, like those people that are just like, how are they like actually so mysterious and amazing in all of these ways? That's Megan. And yeah, that was like one of our first 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the launch day. We haven't even said the name, but Faye Parr-Fouch. I'm sure you guys
Faye Parr-Fouch. Yeah.
Yeah. Made by Fouch. And yeah, now she's like on Revolve and in Vogue. And I'm so proud of her.
I literally saw so many influencers wearing her designs at Coachella this past weekend. And one of them did a haul. They did a get ready with me. And they're like, this is from Faye Parr-Fouch. And then she's like, I don't know if I said that right. And I commented, I'm like, it's Faye Parr-Fouch, like ouch. And then in parentheses, like, I know her. It's because of her last name. But I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like, the way that it has spread, I feel like she's everywhere. So go, Megan.
And the amount of knockoffs of her designs is crazy. Because like I would see dupes on like Amazon and like those scammy, like I don't want to say which ones.
Places.
Like Shein and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and I would see people do try-ons like on TikTok of the fake one. And I'm like, wait, that is crazy and sad. And to actually then like know the designer and know that their designs are getting ripped off and fakes are being made of someone who like spent years and years and years being like so dedicated and perfecting their craft just to have it ripped off. I'm like, that is crazy.
But for her, honestly, I don't even think, like, because I think there are scenarios where that could be very detrimental, but she's almost curated an entire aesthetic lifestyle.
Oh, 100%.
That when you type in those words, because you're spot on, like people are copying, but when you type in those words, it's like different websites, different designs. Like that's not one specific design because she's curated a vibe, basically, in the cringiest way, but she's curated an aesthetic. So like they can copy, but they can't get her quality. They can't match what she creates, which is the best case scenario.
Yeah, because the detail that she puts in is like so next level. And it's like you want the original because of how well done everything about it is. Yeah, I can't believe we like never re-brought that up on the podcast.
I was just thinking about that. I'm like, this is so crazy. And yeah, I would say she's one of the top, I guess, independent designers in the US right now. Like she's killing it. So kind of crazy that we had her on so early.
Well, we'll make sure to link your friend Lovell
and
Megan in the show notes of this episode. If you guys want to go check them out.
Yeah.
Peaks?
Yeah, let's hear peaks.
Okay, my peak is actually really good this week. I feel like I've had some underwhelming peaks the past couple of weeks, so I'm making up for it this week. After being down here for a little while now, I was like, I am so much happier here in like every possible way. I'm like more motivated and more inspired. And if I lived here, my life would just be so much better. And so I decided to reverse engineer the situation. And I looked in some Facebook groups, found a sublet, messaged the girl. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to get it because like so many people had commented. And I was like, it might be a scam. I don't even know. But I messaged her and she messaged me back. And I came and toured it. And we both vibed. It's like her place. It's very similar actually to my New Wave setup where I travel a lot. So I like sublease out my rooms and she has this place. So there's 3 bedrooms and her boyfriend lives in France. So she's like gone a lot. And I was like, I just like want to like have someone help pay the bills. And she wants to learn English. I want to learn Spanish. And we both have dogs. Her dog's name is Mango. I'm like, Peaches is coming down. It'll be Peaches and Mango.
Gosh.
Like, could not be more perfect. It's so cute. So I literally moved in today. There's nothing in my room yet. I have like a mattress and my clothes on the floor. So tomorrow, I'm so excited. I'm going to like, there's a Zara home store here. I have never really been in, but I'm hoping that they have cute stuff. If not, I mean, I'll probably look at a couple of places, but I'm excited to decorate my little room. And it's going to make me keep coming back here more and more. And I haven't figured out what that looks like, but I feel like if I got an apartment here and a gym membership here and like did the aligned action, that I would force myself to figure out back home in Omaha how to make that possible. So it might look like 3 weeks here, 1 week in Omaha.
Yeah. Wow. Repeat.
We'll see.
That's exciting. Yay.
Yeah. I know. Like he already told you immediately. So
probably. Oh my gosh. No, I love this so much because now I have two digital nomads in my life because you're a digital nomad and my brother has been traveling and working remote for like the last 8 months. So I can now either go to Thailand and have a place to stay. I can go to Colombia. So many options.
So many options. I know. We'll just do like a tour. We'll just go Thailand, Midwest, Colombia. I can put Italy on the map though too. Okay, actually, helpful bit of advice for this. So Colombia and Italy recently made a visa that's like specifically tailored just for digital nomads. So you can get a 1 to 2 year visa for $150 and it takes like a week to get. You can't apply for it, I'm pretty sure, until after you've already been there for the 90 or the 180 days, depending on which country, because it's a little jumping the gun, I guess, to apply if you've only been there for a week. But once you get to that like 90 or 180 days, then you just like ask to extend it basically. Because I was talking to this girl the other day and she was like, yeah, I'm from California. Like I got it literally in 4 days. It was so easy.
Oh, wow.
So if anyone's trying to dip, come on down.
Which you do have a question about that. And you're going to give some good insight on that coming up in a bit.
True. Yes. Okay. Your peak?
I'm going to say my peak. A few weeks ago, I was talking about how I wanted to play sand volleyball in St. Louis. And I was trying to be a sub because I travel a lot. And then no one needed a sub. So I'm like, F it. I'm starting my own team. And we officially had our first game this week. It was so much fun. It was such a gorgeous night, like perfect night where you can wear like a little long sleeve and shorts. The sun was shining. These were really nice courts. It was two courts that had like white sand courts. So it was just like a little touch of the beach a little bit right here in St. Louis. But it was very fun, even though we did lose both games, RIP. Our team is brand new. None of us have ever played together. And all the teams we played two teams. It was both of their second, third, fourth year coming back. So they all had their own t-shirts. They had a lot of chemistry. And again, none of us had played together before. So we're still working at the kinks, but there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of passion. We are the Sand Angels because, you know.
Iconic.
A good name. Honestly, it was so much pressure because I was the person who organized it. Like I literally signed this team up having zero people committed other than me and Connor. Because I was like, I'm just going to do this, pay for it, and then I'll figure out who's going to come. Because it was due like that night and I had not texted anyone yet. But I'm like, I'm going to find people. It's fine. And I'm like, what do you
That's
name a team?
Reverse engineering it though too.
Oh, wait, really? Good. Okay, yeah.
Well, just like me getting the apartment, you're like, I know that if I sign up, you'll find people.
Yeah. I'm paying $260. Like I will find eight people to do
exactly.
this
Exactly. Because then you're motivated. Yes. Like rather than, oh, I want to like gather all these people. Like it's happening.
Yeah, and everyone had so much fun. Oh my gosh. Even though we lost, we all had a blast. And it was good. It's fun to connect new people and everyone made new friends because it was literally eight people kind of all from different places in my life. And yeah, we're the Sand Angels. What was I saying else? I don't know.
I was going to ask you, what tier did you decide to go in? Because weren't you debating?
Yeah, so this league only had one tier. And honestly, it's a good fit. Like everyone is competitive, but not professional. So it's I was very nervous coming to this night because I was like, oh my gosh, what if we're with these crazy ex-volleyball players? Because St. Louis does have a very large men's volleyball scene. Like a lot of people played in high school and in college. So some of the other places that you can go, like they are crazy. And I was very worried about that. But no, it's like definitely fun. People in their 20s. Early 30s, you know, young people vibe and they have a bar and it's super fun. So it's a good time.
They're there for the overall experience, not to just annihilate people.
Yes, exactly. So we have a chance. Like we lost, but like it was very close. And it honestly was just because people didn't even know each other's names yet. Like, we're still working through the kinks, but we're going to get our first one. I can feel it.
Oh my gosh, I love this. Well, yeah, definitely keep us updated.
Yes. Okay, listeners peaks.
Listeners peaks.
Maya said, finish my very last day of grad school. Congratulations. We are so happy and excited for you.
Joy said, getting some new skincare and chemical peel. I love choosing self-care. That sounds fabulous. A facial is definitely on my to-do list this week as well.
Brenna said, sitting around a beach bonfire and making s'mores with my close friends. Oh, that's so cute. Loving the warmer weather, activities, all the fun things.
And Katie said, finally spring weather and getting to go on a bike ride with my fiance. While right before we recorded, I was thinking about how coming to Medellin to me feels like when it transitions from winter to spring and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm getting my personality back. Yeah. Man, it was just winter and I was depressed. And you don't realize it in the moment. And like, this is no shade to Omaha. Like, I love Omaha. I have a great life there. I have great friends there. But then I come here and I'm like, oh, I'm alive. I'm a whole brand new person when the sun is shining every day and there's healthy food and I can walk everywhere and everyone's fit. So I'm happy for all of us now that spring is springing.
Spring is springing. Well, as always, send in your peaks on our Instagram page, Arty Friends Podcast.
All right, jumping right into the questions. Question number one, tips on how to stop having a victim mentality.
For me, I feel like, well, this is great, honestly. You've already skipped the first like two or three steps of just even realizing that you might have a victim mentality. Because I feel like a lot of people don't even realize that they're doing it. And we actually did talk about this last week with the guy that's my friend's friend who is convinced that they always will mess up his order at the restaurants and that they're going to like treat him differently. And they always do. So it's funny.
To me, I think the biggest solution to stop having a victim mentality would be to not even worry about how to stop being the victim, but just to focus more on the positives of like, how can I show more gratitude? How can I just like give love to like this random stranger, like compliment them? How can I take more accountability? Because every single thing that you want more of in life means you have to have less of something else. So if you want to be in more shape, that means you have to have less alcohol on the weekend, you have to eat less food. You have to, you know, like there's always a less to anything you want more of. And if you want to be a victim less often, then you just need to be more abundant and more accountable and more proactive. And I think if you can focus on that, it will solve itself.
Yeah. I think for me, the most learned about victim mentality or even just the tools to kind of get out of that is just through reading books. So I pulled a few books. The biggest one for me, The Courage to Be Disliked by Fumitake Koga and Ikuro Kishimi. That whole book is literally about how to not be the victim. Like, that's one of the biggest takeaways from that book. So I highly recommend you read that. It definitely tells you how to take charge of your life and not blame outside forces for what happens to you. A few other book recommendations that I found online, Hero on a Mission by Donald Miller. And apparently this kind of talks about one of these other books that I was going to recommend, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor E. Frankl. So Frankl was a Holocaust survivor and he shares a lot of his lessons. So both those books talk about that. And I love this quote from Frankl. He said that he realized that for the people who either survived the Holocaust or didn't, a lot of the people that he survived with had a why for why they needed to get out of the Holocaust. So the people that lost hope and didn't have a why didn't make it. So Frankl wrote, "He who has a why can bear any how." And I just think that is so powerful.
Mm-hmm. I do love that. That's great.
Yeah.
That makes me think of, this is a less extreme suggestion than putting yourself into a Holocaust. But I think if you traveled to a place that was like an underdeveloping country or just changed your scenery from what your current day-to-day life is to zoom out and get some perspective, that could also probably help a lot, because it's really easy to get in our own heads and have a little pity party. But if you can go somewhere else and see people with so much less than you have and being way happier and doing more with what they have and taking advantage of their resources, I think that could also help like shake you out of that rut.
Yeah. And It's even something that you and Amber talked about on the financial wellness episode. It's like you can either live an empowered life or you can be the person that reacts to everything. So being a victim is just reacting to everything and not feeling empowered. So I love this journey. You'll have to keep us updated if any of these resources help and where you go with that.
I have one more thing to say on it.
Yeah.
And this is such a like hard truth, but literally no one wants to be around someone who has a victim mentality. And literally. So like, it's embarrassing. It's so negative. Like you're like the story you shared last week of the friend at the restaurant, like everyone's talking about how he's like being the Debbie Downer. No, mm-hmm. like have the self-awareness to be like, I don't want to be that friend. I want to be the one that's like elevating the energy of the room, not the one dragging everyone down.
Absolutely. And I think another good thing to shout is that, of course, there are going to be things that happen to us that truly feel devastating that will make us question, why me? Of course, there's like very terrible things that happen to people all the time. And I think you can allow yourself to feel that, but don't let it become your everything. Like find that why again and find your purpose, because yeah, no, I would not want to go through life like that. And you're right. People don't want to be around that kind of person.
As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug and play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point of sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. And like you said, obviously there's like big things that happen that are like, yeah, you know, deaths and things like that. But I think the majority of victim mentality mindset is just like, oh, this person cut me off, or like, oh, they forgot this on my order, or oh, this thing spilt on me. Like dumb, insignificant
dumb
things
stuff. Yes.
That people like let ruin their whole day.
1000%. So I think we kind of hit on the head.
I love it. Next question.
Okay. Yes. I hate my job and I want to move to Hawaii. None of my friends will move with me. Is it too risky to move alone? I kind of think it's badass. What do you think, Allison?
I also think it's badass. I think yes, you should definitely do it. If you are writing this in and you're saying it and you already know, like just go for it. You don't need anyone to go with you. You don't need anyone to tell you that you should do it. You already know you want to. It's easy for our mind to be like, oh, this could happen, or all of the stuff that could go wrong. But it's such a global world now. Like,
yeah,
you're just moving to, you're a plane away. Like no matter what happens, you just get on a flight and come home.
Mm-hmm.
You find someone to sublease the apartment. Like, there are endless resources nowadays that make this so easy that I'm like, I'm embarrassed for myself that it took me this long.
Yeah.
Like, I found this apartment in an hour.
Yeah. Like, it's that easy.
Yeah. And why? I think we build things up in our head to be harder than they are, almost because we want them so bad, but we're like afraid of having them. So we make it seem like that thing is further away than it actually is, when it might be like one Reddit thread, one Facebook group, one phone a friend, one mutual, one LinkedIn status away. But you just got to like take some action, and each step that you take will make the next thing easier.
Yeah, I think you need to 100% send this. So if this person was going to reverse engineer it, because we kind of talked about this twice already, how would you suggest that they do it?
First, go with a carry-on suitcase, just like your basic essentials, whatever. Probably stay at a hostel where there's going to be a lot of people coming in and out that you can talk to. Like, hey, do you kind of live here? Like, do you know anyone? Talk to the workers there. Because if you go and you stay at an Airbnb by yourself, yeah, it's going to be really hard to like bump elbows with all of those people. So either stay at the hostel or frequent like co-working spaces, or go on pub crawls, go on walking tours. But, like, you need to talk to people there, because those locals or the digital nomads that have already moved there are going to be the people with the answers, and they're going to be happy to share with you, but you just have to find them and be willing to like open up and have those conversations. Like, it's kind of tiring, I would say, maybe in like the first weeks when you're just talking to people all day long, trying to get it sorted, but you're almost like interviewing in a way.
Yeah. And those people that you run into or that you connect with in that way are going to know of the jobs that aren't posted on any job board. They're going to know of the Craigslist, or not even apartments, subleases, anything that aren't posted anywhere, that are $600 a month in Hawaii versus the ones that you're seeing on Zillow or apartments.com that are like $3,000 a month. It's the underground local networks where people just need to see someone face to face and know that they're not a freak, know that they're legit, where they can't offer them these like better jobs or better apartments that are much more affordable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Being on the ground will make it way more possible for you. Because if you're trying to do it from afar, I just think it's going to be way more expensive and not feel as real, and it will just take longer. Unless you have like an insane amount of money. Like, if you're making like 20 grand a month and you can just up, move, fly your whole life over there, like sign a 12-month lease at like a $2,000 apartment, like absolutely, you can easily do that. But if you're, say, like a young adult in college and go to college, fresh out, still have student loans, whatever, it's probably going to require you to be more resourceful and be willing to compromise. Like, my goal long term, I would love to buy like a nice apartment here, but I don't know what neighborhood I want to do that in yet. I don't know all the ins and outs and the quirks, and like, I don't have the visa secured yet. And it's like, for now, the next, like, I don't know, 6 months, a year, I can just sublet a room and save money and keep putting feelers out and do the research before I just like full send it, buy an apartment, and then be like, oh my God, I could have saved so much money if I would have, you know, done it through the woodworks instead of just on some random website, like you said, on Zillow, where someone's taking a massive percent cut and the prices are double.
Yeah, exactly. Also, if you hate your job and there's no incentive for you to stay, like, it's not like a job where you can climb the ladder and get bonuses every quarter, year, whatever, then I would say it's worth it to make even potentially less money somewhere that you're absolutely going to love, where you can make those connections, where you could probably even find a job similar. It might take time. It might not be immediately, not even within like the 6 months, or it might take a year, but I feel like you can find a comparable job once you kind of, like you said, get yourself out there. So I would say, like you said, either go with a carry-on and maybe stay for like 2 weeks just to get some networking done. Or if you happen to know people out there, maybe you could reach out to them or find anyone, a friend of a friend. If you know any connection of someone that lives out there, reach out in advance. And if maybe they know someone doing a sublease for a month, then maybe you could just take two suitcases and kind of just wing it once you get there and just plan to stay there.
Yeah. And know that whether it's Hawaii or Thailand or Europe or whatever, people live in these places and they have everything you need. They have toothbrushes. Yeah. They've got heat protectant spray. They've got tennis shoes. They have laundry. Like, you could literally go with the clothes on your back and get there and buy everything you need. Like, it sounds so silly, but I feel like people think that when they're, I don't know, either moving or traveling, that they have to take like every single thing they own, as if people haven't been living for hundreds, thousands of years in these other places and they have their own society with their own stores where they also buy everything. Mm-hmm. So don't worry too much about making sure you take everything you possibly need as well.
Yeah, that's like the least important part of it is the stuff.
Yeah.
If you forget something, it's going to be fine.
Absolutely. But yes, you should do it. Oh, and then my last thing on it is if you don't have a ton of money saved up, maybe this is horrible advice, but try to spend everything you can on your credit card. So that way, if you do end up finding an apartment or you need to, like, because in Hawaii, I know particularly, like, you really need a car and you need cash for that, I would maybe save your cash for that. What do they call it? The deposit on an apartment, like those mm-hmm. things. And then put like your flight and your food and shit on your credit card. So that then once you get there and you get a job, you can just pay off your credit card, but you need your cash for certain bigger expenses.
Absolutely. Okay. These next two questions are friendship drama related.
Number 3. Hello, love your pod. I just found out one of my best friends from university has moved to a new country without telling me. I know we drifted apart after uni, but I would have liked to say goodbye. So sad.
Yeah, so sad. I feel like my feelings would definitely be hurt if I was in your shoes. Like, when I moved to New York, I had a little going away party. I invited all my friends and it was literally at my parents' house. My mom just made us breakfast and like had orange juice and sat around. Like, it's a very low effort thing to do. So I do understand why your feelings are hurt. Like, that would definitely make me a little bummed.
I would say, as always, it's not personal.
Yeah.
Clearly, if they're moving to another country, they're like seeking a lot of things, new friendships, new opportunities, change in their life. So they're probably pretty focused on what they're wanting and less focused about what they're leaving behind. Because now as I'm reading this, I'm like, oh shit, I haven't even told my dad yet.
Oh my gosh. You're like, wait, I am the person that's doing it. No.
But it's not like I'm out here being like, oh, I don't want to tell him. Like, I've just been so excited. I'm like, wait, what? How am I going to decorate it? Like, it has nothing to do with like not trying to tell someone. So I would just be honest with them and be like, oh my gosh, like, I saw you moved. Like, you look like you're thriving. Like, I know we don't talk all the time, but how are you? Yeah, there's fireworks. But how are you doing? Like, would love to do a FaceTime or something like that. And I'm sure they'll feel like happy in their heart that like someone from home cares that they left. Because that is always like a sad part. I'm sure like anyone that's moved away from home, like they want to know that people actually care that they left.
Yeah. And if it's someone that you do want to remain close with, I mean, I think in that message, it, like, I personally would say, like, not gonna lie, I was a little bummed that I didn't hear from you about it, but I totally understand it was busy. Because I do think in these kind of situations, giving that person your honesty can help you guys get closer and can give them that perspective and maybe like show them that's a blind spot where maybe that you do want to be kept more in the loop and that would be very important to you in that friendship. So I feel like giving that, but in a very positive, lighthearted way. Like, I loved what you said and just saying it in a nice way and just seeing how they react. Because like if you're saying, if they're moving to the new country to kind of jump ship and say goodbye to people, we grow out of our friendships. Like, some friendships are for a season. And sadly, maybe they're kind of viewing all of their university friends as like that season in their life. And if they want to move on, I wouldn't want to give a lot of energy to someone who's kind of moving on from our friendship, you know?
Yeah. And we've also talked about this before that like people go in cycles with friendships sometimes too. Like, they're probably not moving to another country forever. Probably going to be like a year, couple years, and they're just going to do their thing. And when they get back, like, I know in our early 20s, months and years seem so long. But even now that I'm like basically 30, I'm like, I could go a year without seeing a close friend and still pick up where we left off like that. Like, it's almost like too normal to go months without seeing your close friends. So, I don't know if that makes you feel better, but I don't.
Yeah, I I think overall, like you said, it's not personal, but I don't think it can hurt to be transparent. And honestly, how they react in your like your very lighthearted, transparent message can help you see if you want to, I don't know, maintain that friendship. Because I know you said you kind of drift apart, but it is tough when you kind of think that you're better friends with someone. Maybe they don't feel like, you don't feel like they're treating you the same way. I don't know. It's very tough. Last question. My fiance's friend group has been leaving us off of invites to events and get-togethers for the last few months. And this weekend, once again, they went out of their way to not invite us to a party that they were throwing. This happened over the weekend, and I just found out about it over Instagram stories from a ton of them. There's one girl in this friend group that absolutely hates me and refuses to speak to me or to my fiance at any of these parties. She's 5 years older than me, for some context, and she seems to have gotten the rest of the girls on her side to ice me and him out of the parties. We were in a fight 2 years ago now, and she hasn't spoken to me since. Despite being in the same room as me on multiple occasions, I woke up this morning and saw all of their Instagram stories and started crying about it and felt like such a loser. It just hurts to feel like this and be in a literal group chat with them when they're being super mean to me. What should I do? This is such a fucked up story, and I'm so sorry that this happened to you. I just want to give you a hug because I hate mean people and mean girls. Like, this is, again, with the nothing being personal, this has absolutely nothing to do with you. And I don't know. This is really sad. I feel so bad.
Yeah. My immediate reaction is just like, yes, this is very sad, but you don't want to fight to be in a room that you're not welcomed in. Like, there are
absolutely not
so many people on this planet. You don't need to be fighting for these like 10 random people to give you attention when there's a lot of fish in the sea.
Mm-hmm. They're very clearly envious of something that you have. There's something that about you where you shine or you have something special that triggers them and makes them kind of see something in themselves that they don't have. Because I feel like anytime you critique someone or you don't like somebody, it's something within you that you haven't addressed yet. So first of all, just know that again, this is everything to do with them and nothing to do with you. But I agree. I do not give my time or attention to anyone that disrespects me. And this just sounds like blatant disrespect. I mean, I kind of almost want to yell at your fiance for putting up with this. Like, is this too harsh? I feel like I need to give some tough love right now. If my fiance's friend group was doing this to me and my fiance was putting up with this and kind of didn't address it, like I would feel very betrayed almost. Like, I feel like, first of all, I would leave myself out. I would take myself out of this group chat. I would never give them an explanation, never talk to these girls again. That's happening immediately. Also, for me, I can't control what other people do, but I would kind of tell my fiance, look, you can still hang out with your guy friends, but I personally don't ever want you hanging out with these girls again. This is how they treated me. This is how they view me. And if you're loyal to me, you can't be loyal to them too. That's kind of, maybe that's like psycho, but I would never want my fiance around these girls.
I think that's great advice. I don't know, this is my tough love bit of it. And I feel really bad saying this, but how you typed, I feel like such a loser, makes me think that something back in childhood here, there might be like some trauma around feeling left out, that this feels like extra triggering to you and could be further perpetuating kind of back to the victim mentality thing. Like, if you think that they don't like you and that they're leaving you out and that they hate you, then it might just be continuing that. Like, have you tried talking to this girl one-on-one? Have you tried killing them with kindness? Have you like brought any awareness to this, or is it in your head? Because a lot of times I feel like we think people like hate us and they're like, oh no, it was this or this. And like, she might not love you, but it might not be as malicious as her getting all of the girls to ice you out. Like, maybe they might definitely be doing things without you guys, but it could be that they also think that you guys don't want to be there anymore. Because if the past few times that you had come, if you guys were kind of all being cold to each other, they might just feel like, oh, this is awkward. We don't want them to feel awkward. We want us to feel awkward. And then it's like making this each time into like a bigger and bigger thing. And maybe an open conversation maybe the main girl doesn't want to talk to you. Maybe one of her friends you might be able to get some insight from. And again, I don't think you should beg to be in a room that you aren't welcomed in, but it might not be as malicious and personal as you think. And you might also be extra sensitive if this is something that you have maybe dealt with in the past, whether it's like being bullied by siblings or high school friendships. But yeah, I don't know. I would try to zoom out a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Asking questions is always good. Getting some clarification and just making sure you're not assuming anything about a scenario. I think that's good advice. I mean, I think it's kind of like you said, there's so many people in this world. Why give your attention to anyone that's not 100% yes on wanting to be your friend?
Yeah. Okay. I think now that we've talked this out, my action plan would be like, get some clarity around it. Have maybe your fiance talk to them. Maybe you talk to them. If you do confirm that this is like a situation, then you can face it head on for what it is. But if you are making assumptions and maybe it's not that bad, then you might want to carry on just like amicably, because I really just like don't think burning bridges is ever the way you want to go. Even if you guys don't like each other, it's so complicated to have like a burnt bridge with someone. Like that's why this whole friend group dynamic is clearly, because it's, you said there's one girl in the friend group. So like that one burned bridge now is rubbing off onto her friends. And then it's rubbing off onto your fiance. And it's like making this whole thing. And if you and her could not have that bridge burned, that would benefit everyone else in the group probably. And even if you guys all stop hanging out together, you never know who is gonna be, like, could be a coworker of yours one day, could be next to you on your yoga mat at class next week. And for my own anxiety, I've just always, like, the fewer bridges I have burnt in life, the easier I can live, because I feel like I can just go anywhere, be myself, whoever, and I don't have to worry about running into like a situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you feel like the issue is mostly stemming from this past beef that you have with this girl, see if you guys can talk it out. But if not, I personally don't feel like dipping out of the group chat and never talking to them again is burning a bridge, because they've made their actions. And if I'm assuming that you haven't done anything to provoke this, again, I guess we don't know the full story, but if you haven't done anything, that's on them. And I don't feel like, I mean, from what you're saying, if they're acting this way, I don't feel like it's on you that you're burning this bridge. Like that's kind of on them, unless that you had done something, I guess, as well to initiate it. Yeah. But I do think that
I want to know what the fight is about.
I know, because these people are just being, because there are groups, like I swear when I was in New York, there were groups of people that like would not let you hang out with them if you didn't go to an Ivy League, or like there are these mentalities that people get into where you literally don't do anything wrong, but they will treat you differently. And like in that kind of situation, I would just want to never talk to people again. And I don't feel like it's like burning a bridge, but I do get what you're saying of just, yeah, creating anything awkward where like you could run into those people, then it is weird. So if you can resolve this in any way, and then like you said, just be amicable and just don't come around as often, or only come, I don't know, when it's like a wedding or something. I don't know. This is obviously very tough, but I think if you can try and repair, that is good advice, and then just see what happens. But if not, I say dip out and never look back, because there's so many people in the world and there's so many different ways to make friends. We have so many episodes on this, so many different ways to find community. And also, you don't have to be friends with your fiance's girlfriends.
That should be the takeaway.
Like, yeah, this is a cis, like a man-female relationship, which I think we've already said, but you don't have to be friends with his friends' girlfriends. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not best friends with all of Connor's boyfriends or whatever friends, girlfriends. Like, we're friends, but I'm not in their friend group. We're not in a group chat. We're not hanging out.
Yeah, you have your own friends, and like, you come around and you're polite, but like, that's not your friend group. That's their friend group.
Yeah, I think there's way too much pressure on people hanging out as couples. And I think that, actually, I have been reading a book from a divorce lawyer who wrote about a bunch of divorces and like kind of what led to these divorces. And one of them was couples that had way too much overlap and they didn't have their own things. And one, it talked about like having all the same friends, having all the same hobbies, like doing literally everything together. They had no separate identity outside the marriage. So I feel like so that's even more to your case to have other friends.
Exactly. Because then when one thing crumbles, everything crumbles. Like now all of this is so intertwined that it's like now it's a problem with them. And then your fiance is going to have awkward tension with his guy friends because they're wives or girlfriends are going to be talking to them. And it's just like everyone's caught in the middle. But if you were like doing your own thing and you just came around whenever, no big deal.
Yeah. So that's why I'm thinking like if you did not do anything wrong, I say, tell your friend, say, hey, look, you can go hang out with them. I'm just never going to come. I will never hang out with them again unless I'm forced to, unless you really want me there. No hard feelings. I have no animosity towards any of them. Like I would just start with a clean slate and just let it be. But if you did have some sort of role in this, I would try to talk to the girl, make amends, sign a peace treaty, say that you're all good, and then also still dip. Because I don't know. I'm getting bad vibes from this friend group. I would not want to be in it.
Boom.
Okay, cool.
We basically didn't give one answer to that. We gave 10 options. So
yeah, so you have a lot of options. That's what your besties would do. Yeah, we have plan A, B, C, D.
Wait, this is actually really funny. And I want to wrap up with this. You know how I said I've like had a lot of male Airbnb guests like staying at my apartment the last couple months?
Mm-hmm.
I was telling one of them like, oh yeah, the girls say everything in the group chat. And he's like, no. The girls are just going to tell you what you want to hear. And so I like told him like a situation and he's like, do you want like the actual honest male answer? And I was like, yes. And he told me and I was like, that's not what the girlies said. And he's like, I know that's not what the girlies said. And then I asked my next male Airbnb guest and he was like, yeah. So basically that just negates our entire credentials. But for whatever it's worth, your friends are always probably going to take your side and tell you what you want to hear. So of course, we should all still like vent to our friends. But don't be afraid to be the honest friend. Three times last week, three separate times, I could screenshot it and put it on my Instagram story. I had my friends tell me, why do you always got to be the devil's advocate friend? And I'm like, well, I'm just trying. I have your best interest in mind. I'm trying to make you a better person.
I've thought about this so often. And I'll literally see videos of someone telling a story about drama. And I'm like, I know that if they were on the other end, that they would be telling it in a way that would make me want to be on their side. And I even think about that in my situations too. And I try to think, to zoom out. Yeah, no, I fully agree. But it's good to be the honest friend. I love that for you. It's not me, but I love that role for you.
I will wear the hat. If you guys ever really just want some brutal, honest truth, I got you. If you want to feel better and get a hug, go to Kara.
I don't even know if that's what I'm good for. I'm like so awkward when people need hugs and emotional support. I'm like the, let's plan your honeymoon. Let's plan a trip to Europe. I'm
no, like you logistics. Are right. You're like, let's go have fun instead. Like, let's take your mind off of it.
Yeah.
Let's go take photos. Let's go like do the girly thing. I was actually thinking about it the other day. I was like, you are like the fun friend.
I know. And I'm not the emotional support friend. Like I have friends that I can go to when I'm like very, you know, you have those friends that you can go to when you're sad and like need a hug. And I'm one of those people like it's so closed up. And like, obviously if it's my best friends, I'm going to be there, of course. But like when people need emotional support, it's not in my natural, like some people just are naturally so warm and know the exact things to say. And I've had to get a lot better at that because it doesn't come natural for me. But that's why we have our other strengths.
That's all right. Because we all don't have to be, yeah, everything to everyone.
Yeah.
So lean in where we're best.
Yeah. So if you guys need a fun friend, I'm here. Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Already Friends. What would your bestie do? We'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, wait, really quick before you go, if you want a chance to be the Already Friends Listener of the Week, we have something for you. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And for bonus entries, there's so many ways to support our show. Share about us on your Instagram story, engage with us over on TikTok, post on our Facebook group, join the Patreon page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Make sure to send that rating and review to our Instagram page, Already Friends Podcast, and we pick a new Listener of the Week every Wednesday. We'll send you a $10 Visa gift card if you win, just as a way of saying thank you, to buy you a coffee, buy you a sweet little treat, whatever you want. Thanks again, you guys. We appreciate you so, so much, and we'll catch you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.